Let's give another hand of praise for Mary Lou. You know, I love the little revelations that she tends to receive from the Lord. It's like those little sweet nuggets that God gives us and stuff like that. But we are reaching thousands over around the world. And to those that are listening, we want to thank you for your support. And those that are here, we want to thank you for your support, because how many people realize that the world and us need to get this truth in us? You know, we're suffering and we're being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And, you know, God's love for us is so great. And the sad thing about it is, if I can describe it, he's looking down and he's kind of like crying. And this is the reason why he has raised up individuals like myself and the other pastors that are in this ministry to be a voice for all of us. So we're the voice of him. You know, he shows us his heart and then we cry out and bleed his heart out. And he comes with a message every day. If it was up to me, I'd have service every day. And I do have service with God every day. I spend that time every day, all day, just always communing with him. And I enjoy understanding and receiving the mysteries and the secrets, ancient secrets that have been given to us since the beginning of the foundations of the world. I mean, it's the most beautiful thing when you can see, when light comes into a dark place and you're enlightened and you can see. And, you know, God has us at a place right now speaking about the fear of the Lord. But I want to let those that are listening around the world and here to understand that the fear of the Lord is nothing that we know on earth, carnally speaking, because as soon as we hear fear, we develop this frightness. But the fear that I want to impart in us is a love fear. And if you can feel what I'm going to say, you'll have an understanding of this love fear. Has anyone ever loved somebody or met somebody who they really like and they really care about? Well, what if that person all of a sudden looks at you and says, "It's not working. I'm going to go out. I'm not hanging out. I'm going to separate myself from you. I'm not going to be around anymore. See you later." What's that feeling? Oh my God. What are you talking about? You're like the love of my life. You can't go anywhere. You can't leave. Has anyone ever experienced that type of fear before? It's okay to feel that. It's okay, you know? And that's kind of the fear that I want to put inside of you, you know? Because there is a part where God has a will too, you know? He's like, "Hey, I don't have to hang out with you. I don't have to be the savior of your life. I don't have to be a part. Well, you think you could just like call on me and I'm like going to like answer every prayer you got?" I want you to begin to understand God. And I want to impart this love fear, because he is there when we need him. He will supply all our needs when we ask him. I mean, he's like the God of, like, unbelievable. He's like the perfect man or the perfect woman that you could ever imagine in your whole life. Has anyone ever had someone like that in their life? Or maybe has someone like that in their life now? And it's like, "I don't know if I could live without you. If you're not in my life, I can't live anymore. I wouldn't want that love to leave me. I wouldn't want that. I would want to keep that love." And there are verses in this book called the Holy Bible, which I love. It's the only book that I actually would agree with that matches with what I received. Sounds kind of unorthodox, doesn't it? Sounds like this should be first and then you receive what after this. But actually, I received something special supernaturally. And now this is the book that speaks to me that I received. And I met Jesus. And I don't know if there's many out there that can actually physically, personally confess that they met him. And I met him. I will boldly say I met Jesus. And the words that he said in an audible voice was, go back and tell them about my Father. So now I have set a mission to tell the whole world it's God. It's about God. Only God. The God of creation, the God who created the heavens and the earth, our Creator. That is the only thing that we should be worshiping and that we should be meditating on, and that's what we should have the love of our life. Earthly love is great, but the love of God is even greater. The love of God will keep your earthly love together. How many people have caught that one? So I wouldn't be so focused on the love on this earth as much as the love in the heavenlies. Because God gave you the love on earth, and God can take it away. I want you to understand the power and the glory of God. And I want the glory of God in my life at all times. So that means if I have the glory of God in my life all the time, that's victory. That's the power of overcoming. That is fulfilling every desire in your heart. Then I want to worship him. I don't want to worship the earth or the things of the earth. I want to worship him because he'll fulfill the earthly needs. See, we all have earthly needs, amen? And when I mean earthly needs, I mean a woman in our life, a man in our life, a home, a car, you know, a job, money, all those things, the necessities to keep you functioning in the world, amen? But what tends to happen is we tend to honor and cherish and care more of these things on earth, which have been given to us by God in the heavens. And he can also take them away from us, the things on the earth. And so I want us to start changing the way we're thinking. I want us to, you know, not hold ourselves guilty or ashamed because we never really knew God and we had some losses in the past, but to say, okay, God, I got it today. I understand. I'm going to now start thinking about you. And I'm going to worship you. I'm going to begin to meditate on you and be grateful for the love that you've given me on the earth. We need to begin to bring our loves into the kingdom of God. We need to bring our love in that place so that the love on earth is filled. I want to have love on earth. I don't want to be like pictured as this weird guy who separates himself from the world and, you know, has his own like bubble. You know, I love the world. I love, you know, people. I love my family. I love my children. I love you. And I love things. How many people love things? Man, I love to drive a nice car. I love a nice house. I love cleanliness. I'm a big cleanly freak. I love this stuff. I love all that. And there's nothing wrong. I want to tear religion down because somehow or another, religion makes you feel guilty about having those things, don't it? Makes you, you know, I mean, I understand excessiveness is kind of out of control, but there's nothing wrong with, you know, having really good things and nice things. And we want God to allow us to continue to fill our hearts and give us those things. Amen? But there's a point where God says, get away from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. You know, there was a verse in this book, the Holy Bible, that really freaked me out. You know, I heard these people plead in the ears of God, But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. But Lord, Lord, you know, we healed the sick in your name. We fed the poor in your name. We did all this work in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Man, I was kicked back. I was like, wow, that's so cold. How could you possibly say that? You know, the person might have not known in one way or another. You know, they probably were just doing this out of service. And then I started really seeking the Lord. I said, wait a minute, God is not like that. God will not like scold you because you didn't know. You know, think about it. All of us have gotten in trouble. Come on now. All of us got in trouble. One way or another, we did something we probably shouldn't have been doing. The first time, you got off, didn't you? It was like a little spank in your hand. You know, it's like, don't do it again. We'll let you go. It's no problem. You didn't, I honestly didn't know. But the second time, what happens? Listen, I told you already, you got to call it a second time. We're going to have to bring it, you know, a little bit of a stronger reprimand, you know? All right, you got caught the first time. If I see you do it again the second time, that's it. We're done. Does anyone understand what I'm talking about here? Okay, good. Well, that's what the Lord began to start showing me. I'm like, oh, so you're talking to people who have already been aware of you, already been aware of this worker of iniquity, so to say. Somehow or another, he's speaking to the ones that have been kind of seeking God, have been kind of looking for him, have been, you know, in that place of looking to find a relationship with God and could have turned it into just religious traditions. And I want to take away religious traditions completely out of your life. It's not about works. It's about relationship. It's about always thinking, you know, the will of God. Your life should be focused in the will of God. The Bible talks about bondservants and slaves, but yet it also talks about being free. And those that are free in Christ is free indeed. Okay? And it's true. When you have this relationship with God, it puts you in a place of freedom. It puts you in a place of feeling good, not guilty, not ashamed. It puts you in that place of righteousness. I'll talk about iniquity in a minute and how God would say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. What he meant by that is we began to start perverting our hearts and our minds, and we begin to worship other than God. Our life is nothing more than worship. How many people realize that? It depends on what you're worshiping, you see. But our whole life is brought up in worship. We worship. We are creatures of worship. And what I mean by worship is, did you ever honor anything like great? It could be yourself. It could be your style. It could be, you know, your home. It could be, you know, material things. It could be, you know, whatever. It could be your best friend, your wife, your, you know, your children. Whatever it's like would devastate you if you lost it. If I had to put that and sum it all up, you'd be devastated if you lost it. How many people are following me here? Good. I always want everybody to follow me. If not, get the tape, listen to it over and over and over again. It'll eventually hit you. We should be able to be at a place of contentment and peace. Lord, you know my heart. If it's your will, so be it. Not my will, but your will. Would it hurt me if the love of my life left? Now, I'm going to say love of my life, meaning anything we worship. Would it hurt me if the love of my life left? Yes. And it's okay to identify with pain. It's okay to identify with things that are lost in your life. It's okay. But if we ever lost something, how many have ever felt, I can't live anymore if I lost it? I can't live anymore. I don't know what it would be like if I lost you. I can't live anymore. I feel that with, you know, my own children. I'm like, Lord, don't take my kids away from me. I don't know what I would do. I couldn't live anymore, you know? And that's a deep love. And you have every right to feel that way too. I want you to know that. But there's a point where we have to put this place of worship into the hands of our Creator. Not my will, but your will be done. Now, the beauty is God knows your heart. See, God knows your heart, and He won't take away the desires of your heart. So if you have this deep love, like I have a deep love for my children, He knows that. You see? He knows that. But then, if I put my love before, if I put my love before my, before God, you know, if I love my children more than I love Him, that's where it gets iffy. That's where it gets scary. See, God wants to be worshiped. He wants to be worshiped. He wants to be loved. And everything comes from God. Everything. 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 If I can emphasize this, everything comes under God. Everything is given from God. Your child was given from God. Your relationship was given from God. Your career has been given from God. If you think you obtained anything on your own, you are deceived. Bottom line. Because God hardens the heart and softens the heart, and He has control of the whole entire world. He's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the Creator. By knowing this knowledge imparts this reverence, love, of fear of God in you. If you truly understand this revelation, God wants to fulfill the desires of your heart. But at the same time, if you worship that other than the Creator, He'll take it away. He'll take it away. I don't want God to take any of my love away. I don't want Him to lose my love. I want my love focused on Him, and then He'll fill the desires of my heart. He'll give me and allow me to keep all the desires of my heart. And if I have a love of something and I have this place of worship in my heart to God and He takes away the love that I thought I had, He'll fill it real quick. He'll put someone else in those shoes and it will be better than what I thought I loved. How many people followed that one? Good. He will never take away from you. If you truly love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, He will never take away anything from you and not replace it with even greater. Never. Sometimes we think what we have, we love, and it's great, and we really didn't realize that there is even something even better. Because we're shallow, short-sighted, even to blindness. So why I say that is because you might find my God, and then all hell breaks loose. You might find my God, and next thing you know, your world's flipped upside down, and you'll be like, wow! You know, you told me if I follow your God, and I find your God, that my life would be much better, and I'm like living in hell. What the heck is going on? You lied to me. And I'm like, no, I'm not. No, I didn't. You're just not giving Him enough time. Hold on. Worship Him with all your heart, soul, and mind, please. Count everything you know and throw it away because you don't know. You were loving to limits. And you don't know the deep desires of your heart. You don't have a clue of what tastes really good. You thought you had a good taste. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's better. There's better. And to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, He not only takes what you have, but He does it and increases it and fills the desire of your heart. And this is why it's so important for us to know God. There are many gods out there. There are false gods out there. There were prophets of God who was the voice of God who are worshipped as God. How many people are grabbing what I'm saying? I have great friends around the world. And I'll tell you what, they have immature thinking. And there are some pastors and leaders out there, and I hope and pray that they're listening to me, that they need to stop worshiping another worshiper and worship the true living God who should be worshiped. We need to understand and worship the Creator. Not the lamb that was slain. You know, not this prophet, not that prophet. Not the ones who brought the oracles of God. Not man, not spirit. But the Creator. And the true Creator is the God of faith. It has no image. If you have an image of God, I hope that image is this: glory, conqueror, victorious, ruler and King of Kings. Don't give me, you know, an image of a man with long brown hair and a beard, okay? Don't give me, Mahama, or, you know, Buddha. Or any of these other gods, the creators of gods, or the prophets of God, or the apostles of God, or any of these, or the mother of God, or any. I don't want any of it. I want the God of faith, the Creator. How do you even describe it? How could you even picture and describe and give me a carved image of your imagination of this God? All I know is I see His greatness. Oh, hallelujah. I see one who can destroy your life or bless it. I see a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I see a ruler of the universe. I see one who will not allow darkness to destroy your life. I see just pure victory when you can come to my God and worship Him and Him only. So there's a place in our heart that we need to establish. And it's a simple format, I guess. Not my will, but your will. Allow things to not rob your heart from discouragement. The feeling of loss, it's hard to describe, but I know everyone knows what it's like. And how do you describe that feeling of disappointment, loss, discouragement, a troubled heart? Because you might not have it right away. A place of being anxious and, you know, and can't wait any longer. Has anyone ever felt that way where they're just anxious and it's like, man, I can't wait for my breakthrough? There are times where I myself get all worked up and I'm feeling the glory of God because right now He's just comforting me, showing how foolish I am by saying, Lord, why? I don't understand why. I do all these things in your name. And I feel that as soon as I begin to say that, He begins to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And I don't ever want those words to come out of my mouth. I don't want to ever hear those words say from my God, my Creator, Get away from me. You don't have the mind of me. You don't know my wills and my ways. You're worshiping other things than me. My heart should be always, it's okay, God. They're yours. All that I have is yours. Even my life is yours. Do what you will. Not my will, but your will be done. When we can enter that place, in our heart, we begin to destroy this thing called sin. We begin to destroy this thing called temptation. I had an email come to me, and they heard the message on Wednesday, and they said, what an awesome message. You know, I got a lot of revelation out of it, and I thank God for that word, and yada, yada, yada. And I said to that person, I said, it's not over yet. It goes deeper. We need to understand that temptation are voices in our heart and in our head. And how do you discern temptation? Well, I'm going to tell you, every inspiration in your heart and every voice in your mind, every thought you have is temptation. And it can be birthed into sin. But what about God's voice? What about God's still small voice? Can I hear His voice? Is it all temptation? Is it ever God's will? Is it ever God's voice? And I say to them, no. Why? Because if there is no reverence, fear, if there is no pure worship, if there's never, not my will, but your will be done, how could it be God's voice? How could it be? See, if you knew that every voice that came into your heart, everything that entered into you, every feeling was temptation, it would put reverence, fear of God. It would put worship in your heart because you'd be like, is this your will, Lord? Is this you, Lord? Is this your will? Lord, you know my desire. You know that's what I want. See, what is temptation? It's what you want, right? If it's not what you want, would it be temptation? How would it be temptation? It's like chocolate ice cream and you hate it. Why would God or anything offer you temptation? Here, take some chocolate. You know you're not supposed to have chocolate ice cream because if it isn't, it'll put a little belly on you, so no chocolate ice cream. Okay, no chocolate ice cream. And then temptation comes in. Hey, I got some chocolate ice cream. And you're like, oh, I'm temptation. But what if it was like this? Oh, no, you better not have any ice cream. And, you may have a little belly, so here's some pistachio. Ugh! Oh, I can easily avoid that temptation. I hate pistachio. That's the easiest temptation I could ever endure. It was never in temptation. Temptation will not come to you if you don't like it. It's not temptation. Temptation is only those things that you love, you desire, you hope, the whole nine yards. This is why the Bible says, don't be deceived with your wicked heart or your whatever it says. You know, your heart is deceivingly wicked. So be careful. Be careful. Your heart is deceivingly wicked. Your heart's not deceivingly wicked. It's just the temptation that's wicked. Your heart is pure. What defines it is not my will, but your will be done. You see, there's an appointed time for everything. And we want the timing of God. Listen, the timing of God is like this. Let's say He gave me $1 million when I was 10 years old. I blew it. But the timing of God is gave me $1 million when I was 80 years old. And I was a lot more mature on how to handle it. You see, the timing of God. The temptation was there. I always wanted it, you know. That was a desire of my heart to have that. But it's the timing. I want the timing. I want the will of God. Now, there are things that come in that's called the Savior. And that's that still small voice that works inside of us. And I want us to understand our Savior. I want us to understand our Lord, our God. And let's say that, you know, opportunity comes to us and we really want that chocolate ice cream. And, you know we shouldn't have it. And there's a part of us that is receiving this temptation and we're saying, you know what, I think I can cheat today. You know what, I don't think it's going to be really that bad. I think it'll be all right. But then you got this ching-ching thing going on inside of you. You got this feeling of guilt. You know, right away we would say, oh, I don't want guilt. I don't want shame. There is none of that in Christ. Give me that ice cream. Boom. But we have to begin to start being aware of that feeling that's inside of us. We need to begin to start, if I don't feel good, then I'm just going to stop until I get some peace. Until I begin to start feeling some peace. And peace leads us to the true living God. Not my will, but your will be done. And then we might have to just say, no, I can't do it. I'm sorry. You know, I said earlier in the beginning of the message that there's a place of freedom to be in God. There's a place of being free when you're in Him. When you know God and He's our Creator. And He gives us this free, wonderful life. Has anyone ever experienced the blessings of God? You get your heart's desire. Let's say you got that new car or you got that new house or you got that new mate or friend and boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. And, you know, you're like, woo! And you got your bliss, you see? You got that. How many people have felt that warm, fuzzy, wonderful feeling? Good. You know, a true worshiper of God will keep that warm, fuzzy feeling in the back of their pocket and be like, okay, Lord, now thank you for the warm, fuzzy feeling, but I got to still become a bondservant, a slave to you. I need to worship you. I need to meditate on you. I need to keep my thoughts in you. I need to truly know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And be grateful. Now there's going to be things that are going to come. Temptation is going to come and attack you. And when we begin to start feeling annoyed, upset, discouraged, we got to go back to the blessing. We got to go back and say, thank you, Lord. We got to go back so that those things that God has given us, we can keep them. Let's put it this way. God can give and God can take away, right? Okay. Well, God can also use you in creating an argument. And next thing you know, you get discouraged and you're arguing with the love of your life now and you come into disagreements and next thing you know, her heart gets hardened and bloop, they leave. And then a separation comes. Or it could happen this way. And then an accident, and then they take them this way. Yeah. So, walking in the fear of God is like really a good thing. Walking in this worship is a really good thing. So, I want to speak to that one who asked me about temptation. And how do you discern God's voice? And how do you discern temptation? Well, I want the whole world to understand that it's all temptation until we can surrender it. And when we surrender it, God will give you His will. It will follow through. Let me take an example with Jesus. Now, He was considered the Son of God. One who has not done anything wrong, right? He was a real good man. He spoke the word of God. He preached. He done signs and wonders and miracles. What happened to him? The town began to hate him. I mean, one day they're worshiping him. Hallelujah! Hosanna! Yeah! Here comes the man! Hallelujah! And then all of a sudden, the next day was, kill him! Kill him! Now, carnally minded, you would be like, wow, they were bad people. Can you believe that? Those people were really bad. But spiritually speaking, who was really doing it? God was changing the hearts of the people. And God was working His will. And Jesus is over here all freaked out. I did all these things in Your name, Lord. I healed the sick. I fed the poor. I did miracles in Your name. Now, I don't know if he ever received these words, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, because he stopped the mouth of God. The last thing he said was, not my will, but Your will be done, God. Not my will, but Your will be done. He began to worship Him. He began to worship God again. As the people began to persecute Him and scorn Him. Now, He went through a beating already, didn't He? Pontius Pilate took Him and said, let me smack Him around a little bit because I don't want to have a conflict between the two laws. Back then, there were two laws. There was one, the king ruler of the law, and then there was the religious law of the Judaism law, or the Jews had their own law. And so he didn't want to like cause conflicts. So he says, I'm going to smack Jesus around. Pontius Pilate ended up, you know, whipping him and beating him, right? How many people know the story of Jesus at the end when he went on to the cross? Okay. At that point, you know, Jesus is like really whipped up and he's beat up. And remember, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything wrong. He did everything, you know, according to the will of God and everything to the end. And he's like, not my will, Your will be done. If it was God's will not to follow through, he would have softened the hearts of the Pharaohs or the Sadducees, the Jewish leaders at that time, and would have said, that's enough. You don't have to. He's pretty bloody. How many people have seen the movie The Passion? Oh, man, I cried. I cried. I said, Lord, forgive me. I don't have the stamina. As much as I love You, I don't know. I think I probably would have ran. But he allowed the will of God to take place in his life. And then there was like part two. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. What God was doing to him was bringing him to the throne room of glory. And I'll explain to you what the throne room of glory is. And I hope and pray that you all come to that throne room of glory and endure the persecution, endure the sufferings. Because now it's part two. It wasn't enough. The Jews are like, no, we're crucifying them. We're nailing them on the cross. Not only are we going to nail them on the cross, but we're going to make him carry it. Oh, yeah, he's going to put that cross on his shoulder and he's going to walk it through town and be humiliated too. and he's carrying that cross. And could you imagine what was going through his head? I'm sure he wasn't like, "Wee, this is great." He was saying, "Oh my God, how could I forsake? How could you forsake me? I didn't do anything wrong. How could you forsake me?" But in his heart, he kept saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." He was allowing life to unfold. And I want all of us to understand that God has a life for you. And we come to sufferings. We come to points in our lives that are painful. We come to situations that could cause pain in our heart, inconveniences, struggles, walls, delays, uncertainty. We come across. But we should still keep an attitude of "Not my will, but your will be done." Because I'm going to tell you right now, God has already planned your life to reach that place of glory. He already planned your life to reach that destination of glory. And true worshipers will reach that place of glory. God has put everything inside your heart, a desire, a love, a passion, a want. We want to reach that. We want to reach that place. And this is the road to reach it. Pure worship. "Not my will, but your will be done." So we don't moan and groan and complain and all. We just kind of rejoice in it. We just keep rejoicing in every area and every aspect of our life, whether our conditions, whatever it is, whatever you could possibly think, you just begin to worship him in it. And then what happens? There comes a death. And this is the death that I want to talk about. This death is when your will dies. Not your passions, not your heart, not the life that is God's. Because that life will never die. That is eternal. And what I mean by that life is you have an eternal life. It's passion. It's love. It's wants. It's desires. Everything. Even your how you project yourself and see yourself. It's all life. And it's an eternal life. It's an eternal life. What a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. It's eternal. I hope and pray I can start changing the way you see things. I want you to see eternal. And when you see eternal, you have everlasting life. God is moving and touching you right now. And so when these things take place, that's worship. You're worshiping him right now. And then what happens is Jesus is on that cross. He's suffering. He's hanging. And there was some grace there. They didn't break his knees. Because when they break the knees, then they collapse, and then the lungs, they end up suffocating. But God took his spirit before they had to even afflict that pain. So there was some relief in the midst of his worship. God gave him a break. They didn't have to bust his knees. So he suffocated. What happened was he took his spirit. He died to flesh. He died. But what then happened? Pure worship. He rose from the dead and became a person of glory. He took on the glorified body. He took on the glory. Listen, this is a manifestation of a truth that happens now. You don't have to die with your physical death to receive a glorified body. You don't have to die to a physical death to receive a glorified body. You need to die to a fleshly body. And when you die to self, you become this place of glory where I've seen physical transformations take place in people's lives. I've seen things change, and it happened in a miracle. I was able to say, truly, the kingdom of God has come upon you. When I saw the healing signs and wonders and miracles, I knew that it was an eternal life that they have inside of them. And heaven transformed and came into this earth and brought that person to where they really are. For an example, this one man had one eyeball that was good and one eyeball that was just pure white. And when we prayed, I know his glorified body gave him two eyeballs. When we prayed, the glory of God hit him, and the kingdom of God came upon him and gave him his glorified body with two eyeballs. The white one left, and the one that God has given him in the glory came. I've seen incredible miracles, signs, and wonders, and I'm here to confess that there is a life that is in glory, and we are living a life that is outside of glory. How many of us have felt robbed or short, came short in things in our lives? How many of us feel as though that maybe the enemy is stealing and robbing from us? Well, we can break that power and reverse our minds and stop worshiping in a different direction and worship the true living God. Understand. Now, I have given you a lot to think about. And I hope and pray that I can break things down. But I would seriously recommend grabbing the tape and listening to it over and over. But understand, everything is temptation. Everything. Until the will of God confirms his voice with peace. And when peace comes, you know it's God. If you don't have any peace, don't do anything. Let the fear of the Lord come in and wait on peace. If peace doesn't come, don't do anything. You will experience a worship to the true living God in the sense of not my will, but your will be done. And God will bring, if it's his will, he'll bring peace. And how he'll bring it is he'll probably maybe get somebody else to say, hey, come on, it's okay. Or go ahead, please, for me. Or something to where it will bring peace. Okay. All right. Wait for the peace. How many people understand this one? Amen. And then we become true worshipers. And then he won't say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. He will always embrace us and hold us tight in the shadows of his wings. I want to open up the altars before we end this service. And I'm not going to call anybody up today. But I want to begin to release the word of the Lord. And I shared with somebody earlier that this is called prophecy. Or if I prophesy into your life. And I'm not going to speak directly to you because I know how darkness works. Sometimes if I speak directly to you, and we're not really quite ready for it, or fear comes in, darkness has the opportunity to rob it. And I don't want the prophetic word to be robbed. But if you're over here and you say to yourself, oh, that's for me. That's me. Oh, he's talking to me. I know he's talking to me. Receive it. Grab it. Hold on to it. And now I took all power from darkness. Darkness can't come in. Darkness can't come in and take it. They can't say, oh, but it's not my time, or oh, I'm too young, or oh. They have a way of robbing the prophetic word. So I'm going to speak. And if that's yours, take it. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Lord, that you only want the best for them. I thank you, Lord, for the revelation of the kingdom of God and what we think in our hearts, so it is. So the Lord is saying, every desire that you have, everything that you want is my will. It's my will. Stop seeing naturally. You're looking too carnal with your eyes. You're condemning yourself. You're speaking lies to yourself. You look at yourself and you start speaking negative lies. Cast down the lies. I have granted you power to do it. Receive my power. I'm going to begin to restore my relationship with you, says the Lord. You have never been lost. I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to hold you. And I'm never going to let you go. I will always be with you. Temptation is going to come. That is not going to stop. It's going to come every day, every moment of the day. I released my word in your heart today, for my will to be done. Allow my will to be done. There are going to be some things that are going to come into your life, and you feel as though that you've been robbed or short-sighted, even to blindness. And you might even say in your heart, I can't do this. But the Lord is saying, you can. Because I would have never given you more than you can handle. The dreams and the visions that you have will come to pass. I want you to dream higher. Take your vision higher. I want you to see yourself where you want to be. I want you to begin to see yourself. Place yourself in that place. In a vision, in a dream, in an imagination, whatever it will bring you, a vision, whatever will bring you to a place of an imagination. You can change your circumstances by the way you see it. And the Lord is saying, I have anointed your eyes to see. Only the fool will not open his eyes. The fool will walk in darkness. And you'll bang your head, and you'll trip over a log, and you'll get lost. But the Lord says that I have given you eyes to see and the power to create, because it's my will. And as you begin to see, believe. How do you see yourself now? Believe. Anything negative, I want you to cast down. I've given you the power to cast it down and put it under your feet. See it. Grab it. step on it and don't let it live. I will fill the life that I have given you because I call you my anointed one. And I have called you to do my work. I've called you. I've raised you up. It's not by accident that I have given you this life. I've raised you up. He raised you up as a doctor for an appointed time like this. He will use you as he used Thomas Edison to create the light bulb. Don't cut yourself short, the Lord says. You might say in your heart, that's a big mountain, and I can't see any way to climb it. But the Lord says, I've given you hind feet, and you can climb that mountain like a mountain goat can climb a mountain with ease. You say, Lord, how can I fulfill all these things? I'm a person with unclean lips, unclean hands. And the Lord says, I don't see sin. It has been taken away. Because if you worship me, you give me perfect love. And the love covers a multitude of sin. So show me your love and begin to worship me, and I will fulfill every desire of your heart. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I'm asking those, the service will be done. And those that have to leave can leave. But I feel in my heart to quickly open up the altars. And if there is someone or more than one that feels a need to come and have their hands laid on them, I'm opening the altars up quickly. Come quickly. I will lay my hands on you and anoint you. If you're moved quickly, come.